well fulfilled. Oh yes, I thought, well, maybe we could have a little more beauty in the day if we had a couple inches of rain last night, but we didn't. We need rain pretty badly here, but it's still a beautiful day. And it's a beautiful opportunity to meet and associate with like faith. I don't mean to pick apart statements of my brother as to strange faces, maybe unfamiliar, but not strange. When I have faces that are of Christ, I heard then, while I was also shaving, a question of, would you mind if I play you a piano? Didn't ask me, asked my wife. Well, of course, she didn't mind. I think I would have said, yes, I do mind here on Sunday morning. I minded in such a manner that I would love to have her play. It wasn't a matter of, yeah, you may or may not, but please, oh, please. Oh, yeah, oh, please again. But oh, please play. Beautiful music. And what do you suppose she played? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Just part of my thoughts. And also my thoughts were, well, what would I like to do today? Where would I like to be? Would I rather be someplace else than here? Oh, possibly. Because I know in Grand Junction, there is quite a group of my brothers and sisters meeting there in their annual reunion. We had thought about going, I had at least, but it's quite a ways to drive. And then Sharon's wedding coming, we didn't think we should leave. I didn't think we should leave. Betty maybe wasn't too enthused about all the way along because she's not a very good traveler anymore. But then when I found that Brother Toulouse was in the country, his name goes way ahead of his person. I've heard it very much from Brother Bob, much admiration. And I guess, according to what I hear from Bob, also his admiration was pretty much for Brother Orville. So I guess if I had my choice, even if I could go to Grand Junction without traveling, I'd still rather be here this morning. It does my heart good to have so many that are so interested and dedicated in serving God, in keeping His commandments, doing the things that He would have us to do. I hope the Lord will be pleased in our efforts today. And I hope that He will help me, because I certainly need help. I have a thought that I like to follow. I hope that thought is in agreement with God. And if it isn't, I hope He'll cut me off, because I'd rather be embarrassed and sit down than I would to fail to bring those things which God might have me to bring. I'm not concerned, particularly at least, with the things of the world that are around about us. My greatest concern is with you, my brothers and sisters, that you remain faithful, that you read and understand the gospel and are not swayed with the various things that edges in from time to time. Several years ago, we went to buy a piano, the one that was played this morning. And the man that sold it to us was pretty much concerned with righteousness. And he was endeavoring to do what he thought was good for everybody. So he offered me a book. I think it was called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. I declined because I knew a little of it. And I wasn't interested in the power of the humanness. I'm interested in the power of God. Because we are nothing without the power of God. When we begin to think that we have power within ourselves, we only are kidding ourselves. I guess I got a little lecture that I could have been polite enough to have taken it at least, even if I didn't run to read it. But I was aware of what this leads to. The pitfalls. But I see continually an effort to discredit the scriptures, to discredit God, to discredit His Spirit. To discredit the very, if you please, creation. We come with the Big Bang Theory. He wasn't created like the Bible says it was. It was just a big explosion or something. Well, that's, some will follow that, and some don't want to follow it. But those that don't want to follow it comes up with all variations of what it was really was like, what really happened. And they want to reduce the scriptural stories to mere stories, fantasies. That is very dangerous when we begin to deny the scriptures. Because the scriptures are of God. And if we deny the scriptures, then we're denying God. And when we deny God, we're lost. We're lost when we deny God, when we deny the scriptures. Do I understand all the scriptures? Oh, no. There's lots of things in scriptures I don't understand. But that don't mean they're wrong because I don't understand them. Now, I've been told from time to time that I'm a little naive, that I don't understand the things of the world. Maybe a little ignorant occasionally. Maybe not put quite so bluntly as that, but what is ignorant? That means you don't know something, doesn't it? Ignorance is not really a bad word. There's lots of things I know I'm ignorant about. There's some things I do know about, but there's lots of things that I'm ignorant about. However, I have been outside of my own town. I've lived over a good part of the United States from time to time, and traveled over a good part of the country. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, I'm lucky enough to have spent a few weeks in Thessalonica. I didn't get to Corinth, but I do want to use some of the writings that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. I guess I've been on four or five continents. And a lot of the islands and such have you. So I have a fair knowledge of the workings of the world. Though there's lots of areas that I do not know, have never delved into. Not interested in it, really. What I'm interested in is this and this and my soul's salvation. The wisdom of the world can lead us astray. I won't say it does, I say it can lead us astray. Now, if I can find 1 Corinthians, after all my wild, rapid travels around the world, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non-effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's what I'm afraid now. By wisdom of the world, we cease to know God. We deny God. We accept the teachings of man. Oh, there's great understanding. There's great technical advances that have come to pass in our lifetimes. Even in the last very few years. And I guess one of the most noticeable would be our television sets. I assume most of you have television, some may not. But the large part probably do have. It was real bewildering. It's almost like a miracle that you can hear somebody sing beautiful songs back in New York or out in California. Some of the stations have some very beautiful programs. Of course, there's a lot of hog rot on it, and you need to know where the off switch is, because it can get you into trouble. In that you can listen to just a little bit of things that's not quite in agreement with you. And you can get to where you can accept that, and you can go a little deeper and a little deeper. And before long, you may begin to think that that is the normal of life. I'm talking particularly, maybe, of the soaps. And it seems to be almost a magnet for lots of people to listen to the soaps. And the the life that is portrayed in those should not be a normal. It may be the normal for the world, but it should not be the normal for us. Should not be. Must not be. So the more we leave it alone, the better off we are. Oh, there's lots of other things, of course. Air-conditioned cars. That's great. I enjoy it. I don't really see any sin in having comforts. Now, if you use it to the point of detriment to other people, then yes, there can be wrong in it. But we get into the fact that we have knowledge, tremendous knowledge, of the things around us, of the world, of how things one reacts upon another. The knowledge of the stars. There is astrology. And there is astronomy. Astrology is a knowledge of the stars and try to use it as how it would control our lives. Very wrong. Astronomy, as to how the stars move, the moon moves, the sun, and such. Sun doesn't move, does it? We all know that. The earth moves, not the sun. At the time Christ was born, a new star appeared. Well, there's a rational expression or understanding of how that happened. Didn't really a new star appear, just a couple of stars got in alignment one with the other, and from Earth it looked like a big star. Could be. Could be there was a new one. Many, many prophecies, speaking of our times, tells us of earthquakes in divers places. And we can rationalize what causes the earthquakes. We got plates of rocks here and plates of rocks here, and when they grit against one another, it causes a trembling of the earth. Could be they're right. Lots of evidence indicates that they are right. I think of a commercial that I see on my television, or used to, haven't recently. Advertising Oleo, I believe. It's supposed to be taste like butter. And the lightning strikes because they are making it taste like butter. And then they comment, "You mustn't fool Mother Nature." Who is Mother Nature? What is Mother Nature? Are we going to deny there's Mother Nature? Oh, no, I don't think we can do that. But who controls Mother Nature? Who is Mother Nature? That's God, isn't it? If the stars lined up because of Mother Nature, it was God that caused it. Doesn't matter whether it's a new one or two of them lined up. That's insignificant. God created it. God caused it. God causes everything. He causes the tremors. He causes the rain. Oh, yes, it's Mother Nature. You get enough moisture up in the air, and it gets warm, and your cold front comes under it, and it raises it up, and it... But who controls the cold fronts? Who controls the currents of the air? God creates. God controls. He is in control. And of all of our wisdom, yes, we can forecast rain sometimes a few days in advance, Sometimes it can't either. Sometimes they forecast it's not going to rain. We get a dandy rain. But God is in control. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Greeks. Corinth, that's in Greece, isn't it? No, it's in Turkey. It's in Greece. Sorry. I move towns around pretty easily lately. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Even God's foolishness is wiser than we are. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. By and large, the ministry are not particularly wise of the world. Well, they're not all stupid. They're not all ignorant of everything. But by and large, the ones that are called are not wise of the world. Maybe I'm a little bit naive. I plead guilty. Proud to be guilty. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorified him, excuse me, let me read again, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't glory in our own wisdom, but glory in God, in the Lord. Glory in the teachings of the wisdom that he giveth us. Oh my, that clock that fast? I've got about half a dozen references here, and that's just one. Then let's run over here to 2 Corinthians. First chapter in the 12th to 14th verse. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshy wisdom, wisdom of the flesh, but by grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. We must be careful of our desires to do because of our tremendous understanding and knowledge. Now, many of you have no idea what I have done in my lifetime and the type of work, but I was a company representative or service representative for Lockheed Aircraft. And airplanes are reasonably complicated in the trigger work of what makes everything go. And because of this, I was required to go to the various places to teach the Air Force and all the Marines at times and Navy at times how the system should be operated, how it worked, how to repair it when it didn't work right. I've been down in Antarctica for a few months with the Navy. So, from a mechanical point of view, I don't know what you call electrical, mechanical or not, but I guess so. I would anyhow for this purpose. I've had considerable training. I think I have considerable understanding. At least I got paid for having an understanding over the years. But all that wisdom is nothing when it compares to the wisdom of God. And I'm looking for Timothy here, hiding from me somewhere. 3rd chapter of Timothy. Thus know also that in the last days. When's the last days? Are we living in the last days? I think many of us believe we are. And if we're not living in the last days, we certainly are living in the latter days. And I believe most of us probably believe that we're living in the last days. So we can say this would apply to our time. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Are any of you guilty of all those things? Well, I hope not. I'm sure there's not anyone here that would be guilty of all those things. Are any of us guilty maybe of just one of those things? If we are, we've got a problem. Yes, it's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful time, and it's beautiful to have you all here. And I wish I could just pat everyone on the back and say, go right ahead with all your thoughts and all your doings and so forth, and God will see you through. But I don't think that is my prerogative to do that. I think it is my duty to warn of being conscious, being guilty of any of these things. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, I guess most of you must love God more than pleasures, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be out down the lake somewhere. But when the right time comes, we may let... Well, we got a ball game up in Kansas City. Let's go up to the ball game. Let's don't go to church this Sunday. Let's go to the ball game. Or let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. Lots of things we might decide that we'd rather do that than to go and listen to Jack ruckus over the coals for not having done just right. I'm not wrecking you over the coals. God is. If we're guilty, or if you're guilty of any of these things. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Yes. Some of us are satisfied not to learn anymore. I'm talking about of the physical world, not of the spiritual world. Some might be satisfied not to learn anymore of the spiritual world, but of the physical world I'm speaking of. But many of us want to learn a little more, know a little more about what's going around about us. And that's not bad. As long as we come to the knowledge of the truth. Skip down to the 16th verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be perfect, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. This is the scriptures. These scriptures were had in those days because they referred to those scriptures, the early scriptures. They knew about them. And this is what Paul's talking about. These scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, if it's all given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for our doctrine, why don't we understand it? Why don't we understand all of it? I don't know. But I surely plead guilty to not understanding all of it. But I'm not going to deny that it's right. I just have to plead guilty of my weakness. My ignorance, if you like. And maybe a little naive at times. Naive even on those things which are of the spiritual, as well as those things that are of the physical world. Well, now, if wisdom is so bad, as this would indicate, surely the Book of Mormon would have something on that subject. So I'd like to turn to page 109 and verses 56 through 61. But woe unto him that has a law given, yea, that has all the commandments of God likened to us, and that transgresseth them, and that wasteth the days of his probation, for awful is his state. Oh, that cunning plan of evil one! Oh, the vainness and the frailties and the foolishness of men! When they are learned, they think they are wise. Are we guilty of that? When we are learned, do we think we're wise? I think we all are to a certain extent. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God. For they set it aside, supposing they know themselves. Wherefore their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, and they shall perish. Do we set God aside, the counsels of God, because of that? I sure hope not. I'd hate to think that I'm addressing anyone here this morning that might perish for that very reason. What is the most important thing that happened to us? Well, a question similar to that was brought up in Sunday school. The resurrection of Christ. What did that do for me? Well, up until this time, I'm not sure where a whole lot or not. But I sure have a great hope when my resurrection comes that will have done a tremendous amount for me. Oh yes, it has increased my faith. It's done some good, don't misunderstand. But the real payoff is when we have received our resurrection and we have met our Maker and we have been pleasing unto Him. Run on over to 11th chapter. It'll be page 146. If anyone cares to follow me, but I'm not going to be there long. Starting the 89th verse. And it shall come to pass that those who have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. Where are we in time now? Who is smitten by the hand of the Gentiles? We're talking about the Indians, aren't we? We discussed this a little bit this morning. Wherefore, as those who have been destroyed have been destroyed speedily, and the multitude of their terrible ones shall be as chaff that passed away. That would be the Nephites, and then the Lamanites or the Indians. Yea, thus saith the Lord. No. And it shall come to pass that those who have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes. Ooh. We guilty there? Afraid we may be. Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block, that they have built up many churches. Oh, this is not us. This is the churches of the world. We don't need to worry about this. Well, perhaps. Nevertheless, they put down the power of the miracles. Nevertheless, they put down the power and the miracles of God and preach up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning. Learning, what about? Worldly things, spiritual things? Well, probably more spiritual things than worldly, but both. That they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envy and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in the times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the foundation of all these things, yea, the foundation of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck, with a flaxen cord. I think by and large we're talking about the people of the world here, the churches other than our Church of Christ. But I don't think it's exclusive, that problem. I think we also got to look at ourselves, that we are not being led away easily by a little flaxen cord, a little string of no significance, but that we are led away. Because beliefs that come into our hearts, into our minds, that are not of God. And then when we allow ourselves to be led away, before long we are strangled, we are held with strong. Yea, and he leadeth them away by the neck with a flaxen cord, until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. That is the problem that we have to be concerned with. The little insignificant things that we might be led away from, the true things, from the written word. All we have evidence is proof of the world that the earth wasn't created, 6,000 years ago, as the Bible would indicate. I don't know whether it's right or not, but I have to accept that the scriptures as they stand, and it's by my best that I can understand them, that is a truth. Now, how long it took for the earth to be created, whether it's done in a physical day as we know a day, I don't know. Maybe pretty doubtful, I don't know. But the things that bother me more now is not that of those days, but the idea of what we call humanness, the ability of us as individuals to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps, is a term used to be used pretty regularly, without God. And it's not possible. We may think we're going to do it, but it's not possible. Page 443. My son, give ear to my words. For I say unto you, even as I said unto Helaman, that inasmuch as ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land, and insomuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cast off from his presence. Well, I think we could take these words to ourselves. I think it could say, give word to my son, instead of being his son, this was Shibnon. I could say Alan. Or any one of us. Give words to the, give ear. And now, my son, I trust that I shall have great joy in you because of your steadiness and your faithfulness unto God. For as you have commenced in your youth to look at the Lord your God, even so I hope that you will continue in keeping his commandments. I know. Welcome accord. I know that most of us here have commenced in that path. But will we continue? I certainly hope so. I certainly would never joy in seeing anyone drift astray. For blessed is he that endureth to the end. I say unto you, my son, that I have had great joy in thee already because of thy faithfulness. And I've had great joy with many of you, even with Brother Toulouse, and that it's only a name up until now. But I've had great joy in knowing his devotion and desire. Not putting anybody else down by picking on one individual. Don't misunderstand. And I keep losing my place. And now, my son Chiblon, I would that you should remember that as much as you shall put your trust in God, even so much as you shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and you shall be lifted up at the last day. Now, my son, I would not that you should think that I know these things of myself. Well, how did they learn it anyway? But it is the Spirit of God which is in me, which maketh these things known unto me. Didn't go to school, did he? For if I had not been born of God, I should not have known these things. But behold, the Lord in his great mercy sent his angel to declare in me that I must stop the work of destruction among this people, his people. Yea, and I have seen an angel face to face, and he spake with me, and his voice was as thunder, and it shook the whole earth. No, I haven't seen an angel face to face. I hope that I might be. Have that opportunity that I might live a righteous enough life that God would see fit to do that. And it came to pass that I was 3 days and three nights in the most bitter pain and anguish of soul, and never until I did cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy did I receive a remission of my sins. That she had been depressed for a good while, and that she didn't think she could take it any longer. And she cried out for help, and she received it. Many of you have testimonies of that sort. But behold, I did cry unto him, and I did find peace in my soul. And now, my son, I have told you this, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn of me that there is no other way nor means where man, no other way or means whereby man can be saved, only in and through Christ. Behold, he is the life and the light of the world. Behold, he is a word of truth and righteousness. I see I'm a few minutes past, but I want to again express my thanks for having the opportunity to meet several of you, and particularly to know of your faith and hope, and I believe charity, because I think I detect a love that might be a little greater, than just the love of mankind. Yes, this morning, Bob spoke something about what his sister, Winona, and I wondered, well, was she really his sister? So I had to go and ask. And she said, well, sister-in-law. But sister or sister-in-law doesn't really matter. It doesn't amount to much. What really amounts is that she's his sister in Christ. That transcends all family ties to make our joy of a beautiful day. Oh, what a beautiful morning as she played. Oh, what a beautiful day it's been. What a joy it is to have the opportunity to talk to you this hour. May God bless you all. Thank you.
You can be opening your books to page 340 for a closing number. Thank you, Jack, for a beautiful message brought to us this morning. I have a couple of announcements that I would like to make. Next Sunday is our dinner Sunday, and also time that we will have our guest speaker with us, and it's scheduled to be Brother Leslie Case next Sunday. So come prepared to stay for lunch with us and to listen to our Brother Leslie. Also, it's scheduled that we should meet together on that Sunday also to take care of the ballot for the referendum. Is that your plans to do that, or
you said it wasn't?
I didn't. The church did.